I can only speak to the fans I know, I guess, because like I'm not embedded in Canadians' Twitter, and I'm not like you where you have the pulse of the market. But all my Habs friends, the expectations for their team are through the roof. It's like, hey, I'm now in, I think, five different bets that they go further than the Leafs this year. And it's not out of the realm of possibility, obviously. Like, they went further than the Leafs last year. But is there more pressure on this group because of the way things went last season? Is it because of the new acquisitions? Like, it really does feel like for a lot of this fan base, it's, hey, we should be the best team in this division.
I don't know how. Well, let's be realistic with our analysis first. I don't know how you can actually identify, as of now, the best team in that division. I think arguably at least four, perhaps five of those teams could contend for number one in the regular season, or call it a 56-game playoff if you want, because that's the feeling it's going to get, it's going to have. But expectations are higher. It's not just a feeling for the fans. It was in the Zoom press conferences for Claude Julien and for Marc Bergevin since the training camp has started. I think most of it has to do with the new acquisition, the new look of the team. Added on top of that, the way they were able to perform in a unlikely, undeserved, unexpected presence in the return to play bubble there in Toronto. And finally, you know, the steps taking forward, although a very small sample size of some of the young players that will be part of this core of, you know, the players are expected to perform. So I think when you put all three of these ingredients together, higher expectations come out. But to me, the main reason is depth, quality depth, which the Montreal Canadiens haven't had for so long, that I believe now they may even be the best team in that Canadian division as far as quality depth is concerned.
See, this is what I love about this so much. Like, there's so many different things, but yeah, when hearing you say, hey, we don't know if, or it's too early to say who's the best team in this division.
And yeah, I mean, we'll find out. We can say whatever, right?
Sure, we can, but I'm just telling you that it, but we have, and in this market, it's very, very bullish that here's the way that it's playing out in Toronto. If they don't dominate this division, that it's a disappointment. Like, that's the stakes here right now. And when you hear stuff like, yeah, five or six teams feel that way, this is what makes me so optimistic about the potential for this being just an incredible success, is that every fan base is going to care about every single game. There's going to be trash talk between fans. There's going to be probably more animosity between the players. We've talked about Leafs Habs forever. Like, you know, this is the 1960s. And really, the rivalry hasn't existed for a very, very long time in terms of it actually having regular stakes. Do you think that this is the year where this actually takes off, where there is a true renewed hatred between the fans and a renewed interest in exactly what the other two teams are doing, where the Habs actually do care like what the Leafs are doing? Because a lot of the years it has felt like they have not.
Right. Well, the potential is definitely there. I think the lack of an actual playoff series between the two teams has kind of hampered the chances of that rivalry being renewed. We all understand, especially ones that are close to the beat of those two teams, we understand the importance of those games. We understand the importance of the Saturday nights between Toronto and Montreal. You know, there's no denying that. As far as the animosity, the fan bases, the players themselves, well, every game's going to matter, starting with tonight. I mean, whoever loses doesn't, you know, it isn't kicked out of the playoffs or anything like that, but it's going to be important because every single point, it means you're giving up, you know, to somebody that might be in your way to get to the playoffs or for home ice advantage when it's all said and done at the end of this 56-game adventure there. So, yeah, I think you're right. As far as all the fan bases and the trash talk, I don't get so much on Twitter. It's more of a news feed to me, but I do have a feeling that they know that Montreal and Toronto, rightfully so, are expecting to, I wouldn't say dominate. If anybody's expecting any team to dominate, hey, call yourself the Tampa Bay Lightning and go and play against Chicago and Detroit every game. Then maybe you have a chance to dominate. I don't think Montreal or Toronto or anybody in that, what I refuse to call the North Division, in that Canadian division, will dominate. Yeah.
Yeah, poor Scotia. Scotia Canadian division. How about we at least give them some give back? I feel like this Montreal Canadiens team might have a lot of rivalries because this is going to be part of their identity, right? And adding Anderson, assuming he's healthy, and there's a big gamble that he is considering the contract extension. But this is the thing, right? Like, they're supposed to be an agitated a team that agitates. And that perhaps that permeates not just the Toronto Maple Leafs, but everybody they play, that maybe this is the Leafs are the hated team because of who they are and the fan base, and they're the big brother. But the Montreal Canadiens, is that going to be part of their identity, trying to be hated?
That'll be really interesting. That's the other thing I'll be keeping a close eye on starting tonight is, what's this new identity? There'll be a feeling of good old identity and DNA with Lehkonen and Byron, fleet-footed, playing on that fourth line. So less playing time, but still that speedy type of team that doesn't just skate fast, but plays fast. But interestingly enough, it's a different makeup for the blue line. I mean, Weber and Sherrod are still there, but Edmondson is big. Romanoff is physical. So there's going to be that physical aspect from the blue line and trying to clear up the front of the net, which has been an issue for the Montreal Canadiens defensively, and try to help Carey Price, who's now helped by a potent backup in Jake Allen. And then the addition up front of obviously Josh Anderson, if he stays healthy, but high praises. Columbus is a market I know very well. I still have pretty good connections, but everybody was talking to me about a good player leaving, a player that actually changes the makeup of a shift and of a game when he's on top of it, when he's on top, when he's feeling it. He gets hard on the forecheck. Teammates appreciate that. Opponents notice when he's out there on the ice. So it'll be interesting to see. And it comes with a lot of pressure. You talked about that contract extension. I think it all surprised us to some extent. But the potential to realize and to play up to what's expected is there for Josh Anderson. A shot, a big body that moves around, and that gets up on the forecheck. So that's what they're expecting out of him. And, the other thing with the Montreal Canadiens is now they have a scoring touch. And now it remains to be seen how he will translate on the ice, but they have a scoring touch on at least three of their top lines. Well, they don't have the Matthews, the Marner, or the Tavares in their lineup, but now they have a little bit of balance, and that's what they're hoping for, some balanced scoring, at least on the top three lines.
No, I think everybody loves Josh Anderson and what he did a couple of years ago. And it's, just the question. We haven't seen him in a while. And, pretty major surgery. And to bank on that, I mean, hopefully it's a good gamble for the Montreal Canadiens. But, it's been a while. Getting some reinforcements behind Carey Price was super interesting. And the Jake Allen signing, I mean, that was the biggest reason for optimism in the bubble, is just how Carey Price looked against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
What kind of a timeshare are we looking at here? How's that going to look this year?
A game a week. That's what I'm expecting. A game a week. Hopefully, let's not call it load management yet here, but hopefully, planning on giving Carey Price that game off when there's enough time for him to get the rest with the time zone traveling, which is going to be different this season, and or to add in some workouts and some on-ice session with Stefan Witt, his goalie coach, which is something that has lacked, especially the last couple of seasons when Carey Price was healthy. Last year, he was the goalie with the most starts, with the most ice time. Connor Hellebuyck, Freddie Anderson in that mix as well. But obviously, they'll be looking to get him some rest there now that he's 33. And now that I'm not going to say they figured it out, because I could have told them probably a few years back. But now that they've seen how a well-rested, healthy Carey Price can play, you're right, he was really good against Pittsburgh. You know what? He was really good against Philadelphia, too. He was probably one of the better goalies in that return to play, and that's probably encouraging because he hasn't. But let's be honest. I take Carey Price on my team any day of the week, but he hasn't been playing up to the very elite standards that he's gotten us accustomed to back when he was winning Vezina trophies and World Cups. So it'll be interesting to see. I do believe there's a really good season coming out of Carey Price, and that's going to be relying a lot on Jake Allen doing the job as a backup, which the Montreal Canadiens haven't had for a while, huh?
Well, yeah, man. A lot of people were stunned when they went out and got Jake Allen, especially since his cap hit this year is, I think, $4.5 million, right?
But yeah, it's a lot of money on goalies.
it is a lot of money on goalies, but all I would kind of counter with is, okay, so Carey Price hasn't been the same guy for the past few seasons, but they poll the players last year, right, and they ask them, who's the best goalie in the NHL? And they say Carey Price. And I think that a lot of this sport is still mental. And yep. if you can have a healthy, rested Carey Price in the postseason, the Pittsburgh Penguins did learn that that's one of the scariest things that you can run into. That's one of the worst things that you can run into. So, okay, maybe there's ways that you could have done this a little bit more efficiently. Maybe there's ways that you didn't have to spend as much cap. But if the ends justify the means and you have Carey Price rested, less workload this year in a 56-game season, and he shows up feeling refreshed and great and healthy and mentally in a great spot for the postseason, it's like, yeah, that's why Canadiens fans are talking trash to me about how they're going to go further than Leafs, because that's the thing that's like more terrifying. There's nothing scarier, in my opinion, as of right now on paper, than facing that in the first round of the playoffs, especially if you had a good year and you're feeling good about yourself, and then you got to face, like, gross. Don't want to see it. Like, really hope that it's not Toronto that sees it. So last one for me before we go. Montreal really does have some exciting new players, right? Toffoli comes in, Anderson comes in, Alexander Romanov getting a lot of hype. Which one of these guys are you most excited for?
Well, I'll be keeping a close eye on how Anderson reacts to the big contract, a different market, huge, humongous expectations for the team that he's joined. But Romanov is one that intrigues me. I would like to, at some point, this is no disrespect to Joel Edmondson, but I would like to see, once he goes maybe, you know, once around the batting order and Romanov is feeling it on a given night, to see him getting some extra minutes above Edmondson, hopefully, that will start on the second pairing next to Petrie. I don't think Romanov will ever get into the Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie type of ice time this season, but it'll be interesting to see. And everything I've seen so far, it's gotten me hyped too. I like what Romanov brings. There's a little bit of offense. He's a 2021, bigger body, strong, that can move. And he doesn't shy away from being physical. And the most impressive thing, and you guys, I'm sure, will agree, you guys have seen hockey and learned about hockey players coming over for the first time. Yeah, well, he's been hardworking. He's been hardworking in the gym, in practices. He was around the team during the return to play in the bubbles. And he's been very well liked by his teammates, although English is not a strong suit yet, for everything that he's been able to bring. So I think that gives us an indication. I mean, I think we can't have too high of expectations for a defenseman as a rookie, but it'll be interesting to see how what he brings and how he can get that accomplished this season. It'll be really interesting to see.
Hey, man.
Intriguing player.
Yeah. You're not getting the trash talk on Twitter because you're just keeping it as a news feed, so I'll give you right now. Leafs are going to beat the wheels off them tonight. Like, they're going to start, they're going to set the tone. It's going to be great. I really hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it. And then, you know, you can tweet something later like, long season. It's a long season. Don't panic because, yeah, this one's right in the bag. This is a Leafs win.
Yeah. They're supposed to. They have to. They got the firepower. Yeah. There you go. I can't trash talk. I'm not good. I analyze it in front of me. Hey, I wore a mask for my playing career. I was well protected behind that mask. So.